The percentage of working-age men out of a job has more than tripled since the late 1960s. The unemployment rate for men aged 25 to 54, so-called prime age for wage earning, currently stands at 16%.
While the recent recession can be blamed for a large number of workers losing their jobs, the economic recovery is not bringing this group of male workers back into the workforce.
A recent poll shows that while many working-age men are keen to find new jobs, a large proportion of them are unwilling or unable to go back to work, even though the economy is getting better. Benjamin Applebaum is with us now. He's a reporter with the New York Times. Benjamin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, you write that 16% of prime-age American men aren't working. How significant is that number compared with levels of working prime-age men in recent years?
It's a huge increase over the last half century. If you go back to the 1960s, more than 95% of men in this age group, their prime working years, were working. They had jobs. So it's basically tripled since then. It rose as high as 20% during the years immediately after the recession. Now come back a little bit to 16%. But this is still, it's the highest level we've seen in the entire history of this country.
I guess the big question is why? What factors have shifted in society and the economy that this number has tripled?
Yeah, there's no one explanation for it. But in broad terms, we're seeing sort of the confluence of two things. One is a weaker economy, and in particular, a hollowing out of the type of jobs that are available. So that in particular, workers who don't have a college education, whose skills may be manual and technical, are having a hard time finding work as manufacturing jobs have gone overseas. There are a lot of low-wage jobs in retail and a lot of high-wage jobs for people with education, but that sort of middle space where a high school graduate used to be able to make a middle-class living in a car factory in Detroit or doing something else, that has really gone away. And then the other set of factors that are interesting is that it's become, in some respects, a little bit easier to get by without working. This country has a social safety net that's designed to help people who can't find work, and in particular, the disability program has increased in recent years. And, you know, the ability of people to take advantage of that, to get by, the cost of entertainment has declined. And interestingly, a lot of men are not in families anymore. They're not providing for other people. They're living by themselves. They're single. If they have children, they don't live with those children. And so that has reduced the burden on them as well and made it easier not to work. So you have this sort of odd confluence of a lack of opportunities and a little bit less of a lack of need.
There's some polling data out there that shows that some of these men have decided not to go back to work, would choose that even if they could go back to work. Why would someone choose to stay unemployed?
This is very striking. This is one of the findings that surprised me most. But as I talked to many of these men, it became clear that what we're seeing is that for many of these men, low-wage work is simply not worth it. And there's sort of two elements to it. The first, economically, is what I was describing a moment ago, which is that it has become a little bit easier to get by without working. And in particular, if you're making $7 or $8 an hour, by the time you include the cost of your commute, the cost of getting to work, perhaps the cost of providing a uniform, you're not necessarily making that much money at all from a job like that. And if the alternative is sitting at home and not incurring those costs, it can be surprisingly close in terms of the advantages of actually having a job. There's also a pride issue for a lot of these men. We heard this in particular, you know, for men who perhaps had worked in manufacturing or construction for years and years and are now confronted with the option of working at a McDonald's or in a retail setting. The idea of being on public display is really uncomfortable for a lot of them. It doesn't comport with their idea of who they are, their sense of identity. And for many of them, even if it involves some measure of sacrifice, they would rather not put themselves into that position.
Now, you spent a lot of time talking to men, finding out what their experience was like. What were some of the takeaways that they told you about what their experience was like being part of this new group of men that isn't working?
So I think one of the things that surprised me most, which we were just talking about, is this sense that many of the men have of a pride that extends beyond sort of whatever would be the best thing for them to do economically, that for many of them, there are considerations other than just how can I make the most money. They're concerned about their sense of dignity and of place in the world and of respect. One of the very interesting things we found is that men overwhelmingly report that if they're out of work, they spend more time with those children. But they also overwhelmingly say that that is not good for their children. They seem to perceive themselves as primarily breadwinners and as role models. And if they can't fill those roles, then just the opportunity to spend more time with their children doesn't seem to them as good for their children. It's also interesting how scarred many of these men are by losing work. I was struck by how many of them remember the exact date that they lost work, even if it happened years ago. They remember it immediately and precisely. Many of them report that their mental health has suffered. They're very frustrated by their inability to earn a living. They report, you know, weight gain. They're not exercising. Men spend about half of the time that they previously spent working, either sleeping or engaged in what are called passive leisure activities, which basically means, you know, watching TV or playing video games. So it's really a huge toll on their lives.
We know that jobs, you know, in a bigger sense, they're not just jobs. Wrapped up in being employed is a sense of identity and self-worth. So given that this large number of men is unemployed now, do you think we're going to see a reverb effect in terms of identity crisis and self-worth crisis with American men?
There's no question that this has taken a huge toll on the psyche of these men and on their mental health. We asked men about a series of impacts on their lives, whether being out of work had affected their friendship, their relationships, their physical health, their relationship with their children, a whole range of things. And the thing that they said had been most affected was their mental health. That was the area where they felt the greatest impact from being out of work. And it's clear why. It's a country in which we're, you know, taught from a young age that people are defined in large part by what they do. And for many of these men, there was a sense of pride in what they did. An electrician I talked to who, you know, had spent years investing in becoming an electrician and training and was proud for his son to come to work with him and see what he did. Now he says, I don't know what to tell people. I'm not an electrician anymore. There's a real sense of pain in hearing things like that, a real sense of lost purpose and degraded dignity that I think a lot of these men are really struggling with.
As the economy slowly recovers, do you see some of these men rebounding back into the market again?
So the pattern is pretty clear that some of these men will probably be able to find new jobs as the economy recovers, but also that some of them will not. What we've seen over the last half century is this repeated pattern in which downturns in the economy push a lot of people out of work, and then the recovery brings only some of them back. And so the net effect is that we end up with a smaller share of this population working than worked during the previous boom. So things will get better. It'll go down a little bit from 16%, but if history is any guide, it won't go all the way. And a big reason for that is that being out of work really costs you in terms of your ability to return. There's a fascinating study from Sweden showing that men who are out of work gradually lose their ability to read because they're just not doing it as much. And this happens with other skills, too. When you're out of the workforce, you start to lose the ability to do the job that you previously did, and you're not training to do other jobs, and it means that you become less valuable to potential employers. Many of these men also settle into sort of alternative life paths. They go on federal disability and are reluctant to relinquish those benefits, or they start to think of themselves as retired, and that becomes their identity. And so it becomes irreversible the longer it goes on.
I want to go back to something you said. They lose their ability to read?
This is an amazing study, and it really struck me when I first read it. But it's typical of a body of literature that shows that as men are out of work, they tend not to be doing very much with their time. They tend to be sitting around, sleeping, watching television. Women who are out of work are much more likely to be actively engaged in volunteering or childcare or housework or other activities. Men tend to be sedentary, and we see their skills atrophy. Reading is a very striking example of it. They literally lose their ability in terms of reading comprehension, but it happens with other kinds of skills, too. If you're not doing things, you lose the ability to do them, and it's really one of the striking costs of unemployment.
Now, you said part of this is that a lot of these men are not fathers because the institution of marriage has declined, so they may not have children. Some of them do, of course, but for those that don't, for those that are fathers, how do you see this as affecting their children, the next generation of children coming up?
So there's an important distinction there, which is that we haven't actually seen a decline in the likelihood that these men will be fathers. What has declined is the likelihood that they will be living with their child or contributing to their child's upbringing. So we've seen a real increase in mothers who are primarily responsible for raising their children without the presence of a father figure. And that's the pattern. But the impact on the next generation is one of the most depressing things about this. There was a lot of good research done in the early 1990s during that recession, tracing forward the impacts on children of a loss of work among their parents, and in particular their fathers. And there's a lot of good evidence that the impact carries through to the next generation, that the children suffer in turn, are more likely to lose their own jobs, are less likely to find high-paying work, or less their lives are likely to, you know, be less successful as a consequence of the fact that their parents were unemployed. And the longer that spell of unemployment lasts, the worse it gets. It really seems to disrupt their upbringing in a way that is enormously consequential in the long term. Those 90 studies were based on a relatively small downturn. If it proves to be the case that this pattern holds during the current downturn, which was much, much longer, it has lasted much, much longer, it really could be a devastating event of a kind that I don't think we really understand has happened just yet. It could really scar a significant portion of the population over the next generation.
Have you put your finger on anything that could potentially turn this trend around in the next decade or so?
So there are some opportunities to help people get back into the labor force. And in talking to these people who are out of work, it was striking how many of them saw ways in which employers could accommodate them, could help them to get back to work. Job training programs, good ones, have a track record of helping people find new jobs. Accommodations for people with disabilities can be an important way of helping some people get back into the workforce, for women in particular, but increasingly for some men as well. Accommodations that are designed to help people take care of their families, so child care or flexible work hours are arrangements that can be powerful as well. Listen, we saw this happen in the late 1990s when the economy was much stronger and employers were so hungry for labor, they began reaching out to potential employees and trying to find ways of bringing them back into the workforce. So what that underscores is that what we need most of all is a stronger economy. When the economy is growing more quickly, when there's more demand for workers, it starts to pull people back even if there are obstacles in their way. If the economy remains weak, as it has been in recent years, there's much less incentive for employers to make those efforts, much less opportunity for people who, you know, may be separated from the workforce by a fairly minor obstacle to overcome even that. And so a lot really turns on the broader health of the economy.
Benjamin, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Benjamin Applebaum is a New York Times reporter. He wrote an article on the vanishing American male worker in The Atlantic.